Faint Praise by Ellen Hart. Chapter 1. On the day after Thanksgiving, the first floor of the Fauché Tower in downtown Minneapolis was packed with carolers ushering in the Christmas season. Earlier in the afternoon, Santa himself had put in an appearance. In all the commotion and good cheer, no one paid much attention as an elegantly dressed woman entered from Marquette Avenue and moved quietly to the elevators. The small but exuberant choir had just begun its rendition of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear when the ornate metal doors opened and the woman, clutching a tasteful gray leather purse to her side, stepped on. "We're going all the way up to the top," exclaimed a small boy proudly as the others in the elevator looked at him with amused smiles. The boy's father quickly put a hand on his shoulder to quiet him. Silence returned to the small compartment as it sped upward. On the 24th floor, the woman got off, turning briefly and giving the boy a conspiratorial wink. Then, squaring her shoulders, she proceeded to an office on the northwest corner of the building, where a young man was waiting. She nodded a greeting, at the same time taking in the almost empty white room. A single chair sat in the corner. Stepping to the windows, she could see that the view of the downtown landscape was everything she'd hoped for. Historic St. Anthony in the distance, James J. Hill's famous stone bridge spanning the Mississippi, the newly gentrified warehouse district. It was all waiting for her, buried in a white winter coating. There was no doubt about it, this had been the right decision. Standing in the quiet office, she felt a shiver of apprehension, a heightened sense of her own mission. She turned and faced the man she'd come to meet. Clearing her throat, she asked softly, "How much does the office rent for?" The man smiled. "You like it, then?" She nodded. "It's a perfect spot for your travel agency. When you called me on Wednesday morning to set up this appointment, I knew you'd like it. It's $2,000 a month. $2,400 if you want the small office adjacent to it for a reception area." He hesitated. Then, perhaps thinking he needed to sell the location a bit more aggressively, added, "It's centrally located and has a prime downtown view." The woman turned back to the window. "I can see that. Actually, I've been here before, Mr. Bennett." "Really?" He slipped his hands into his pockets. "When was that?" She looked up at the sky. "When I was 6. My father brought me here for my birthday. It was just before the war." "The war?" She gave a faint smile. "World War II. We took the elevator to the 30th floor, then walked up to the observation platform. It was the first time I'd ever been to a big city." Her tone had grown reverent. "Where are you from?" "Well, for the first 17 years of my life, I lived on a farm in southern Minnesota. It doesn't really matter, because that day my entire world changed." "How was that?" "I fell in love, Mr. Bennett. I knew I had to live in Minneapolis, had to make my life here." He folded his arms over his chest, taking her in for the first time. "That's quite a story. You know, you do look kind of familiar." "Do I?" She turned briefly, allowing him to view her face in profile. Then, very calmly, she removed her coat and tossed it over the chair. Underneath, she was wearing a gray silk blouse with matching silk scarf tied around her neck, almost the same gray as her hair, and a navy skirt. Her earrings were pearl. With a dismissive glance, she said, "Right now, I need to spend some time in here alone. I have a strong sense of place, Mr. Bennett. I expect that comes from my first visit to the Fauché Tower. My surroundings are very important to me. Before I sign your lease, I have to be absolutely positive. I have to sit in here and let my senses make the final decision." With some hesitation, he responded, "Of course. Just take your time. My office is down on the 4th floor. When you get off the elevator, turn right. You'll see a sign that says Fauché Tower Rental Information. I'll have all the specifics waiting for you." "Thank you." Her voice was formal. "Just close the door and turn off the lights when you're done." She nodded and then watched him walk to the elevator. After he was gone, she turned again to the window, as if drawn by some inner compass. The winter light was beginning to fade. Taking a pack of cigarettes and a gold lighter from her purse, she lit one and stood gazing down at the town, that had sustained her for all of her adult life. Now wasn't the time for second-guessing. Doubt had been the enemy for far too long. Leaning against the window frame, she whispered the words, "Fauché Tower," remembering that the man who had built it back in the late 20s, Wilbur Fauché, had called Minneapolis this new Canaan, the promised land. She'd felt exactly the same way when she'd viewed it for the first time. So much promise, such energy. And just like the tower, a building which was meant to symbolize the optimism, the exuberance of the roaring 20s, her life had taken on the same quality of failed dreams. She hadn't lied to the young rental agent. A sense of place was terribly important to her. This office was perfect. Noticing that the cigarette tasted unusually bitter, she glanced around the room for an ashtray. Unless she wanted to use the seat of the chair, nothing was available. She reached up and disengaged the lock, opening the window wide. A gust of cold wind hit her square in the face, momentarily disorienting her. 24 stories was a long way up. There weren't even any screens on the windows. Peeking her head gingerly over the edge, she flicked the half-smoked cigarette into the abyss, watching it sink out of sight. Then, her eyes fixed on a single building in the distance, she hoisted herself into the opening and jumped.